The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Captain Jay Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I to remind you that coming up at 10 o'clock will be Mike Greenberg from 10 to noon. Carmen Yurko 2 to 6. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to... Sorry, Carmen Yurko 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6. Bleck and Abdallah 6 to 8. Freddie and Fitzsimmons 8 to midnight. All part of our mix here on ESPN 1000.
And we will get into Carlos Correa going to the Giants and Cubs fans who are upset.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read you one tweet that we'll address this when Jesse joins us at 8:35.
Sure.
By the way, Cubs, if you don't sign Swanson, I will be having a live Cubs jersey burning party in my yard before the season.
Of course you will.
They are furious. Look at them.
Yeah. We'll get to them.
We will.
Yes, that's for sure, because there's a lot to unpack with that signing that took place and how that affects not just the Cubs, but baseball in general. So we'll get to that as we move forward here on Cap and Jay Hood. Now, the aforementioned Ken from Aurora, Colorado, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, talking Bears with you. Hello, Ken.
Hey, good evening, guys. It's my nighttime, so I want to say good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Yes. Yeah.
Fine.
First of all, Jay, I got to say, yeah, don't worry. I'll get a check sent out to you guys.
Beautiful.
Bernie'sBookBank.org, please.
Absolutely, and Dave, I'll pay for yours as well because you never have any money.
Thank you, appreciate it. Appreciate you,
Jay. Before I get started, I got to say I think you need to talk to Sil about the cream he sells every time you talk about Jack Sanborn. exactly my point.
I mean, imagine Cap made the salient point in the last half hour of Jack Sanborn is supposed to be like, you know, a special teamer. You know, a guy that's a backup, but
good
not
young kid that's developing,
but not front facing and
he's
defense.
Our guy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If we didn't get rid of all those guys, we never would have known about David Sanborn. But I mean, Jack Sanborn. My apologies.
What is the matter with you, Ken?
There's a lot wrong with me. Ask my family. I want to talk about the draft. If they stay at number two,
they're at three.
My apologies. That's right. I heard that. I forgot. If they stay at number three, and would it be better for them to get a run stuffer? And would that help the edge rushers that they maybe they'll get in the off season or in the draft as well? Or would an edge rusher be better? That's something that I've been pondering for the last couple of weeks now. What do you guys feel would be better?
The answer is yes.
All of the above. Like, if Jalen Carter is the three technique in the middle of our defense, sign me the hell up.
Cap.
If the kid out of Alabama, Will Anderson, is rushing the passer, sign me up. Yeah.
I mean, those two guys, again, cornerstones for your franchise for a long time.
Right.
My God.
If you told me the kid from Northwestern is playing somewhere on our offensive line. Mm-hmm. Every report I read is that he's top two offensive linemen in the draft. If you told me, well, we traded back and we got that kid, Peter Skoronski, and we got some three technique that's a beast out of the SEC, sign me up. Just start dropping dudes on our roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And develop and let's see what happens.
Correct.
So from the athletic.com NFL power rankings, taking a look at every team's offseason wish list. So Philadelphia's number one. Again, they're looking at Steelers quarterback, cornerback Cameron Sutton. So Eagles number one. So you scroll down, you're just waiting to get the Bears. You're scrolling for a while like, okay, where is the Bears on this list, right? All the teams in the National Football League, you get through New England at 15. You keep scrolling down, you get to Tampa Bay at 18. Keep going. 23 is Cleveland, keep going down. Then you finally, Cap, get to the Bears. and the Bears are at 29. And they
who's
say,
after us beside Houston?
You mean who's 30, 31? 30 is Denver. 31 is the Colts. The Texans are 32.
Huh. On the brilliant list. Chris Ballard. I kept hearing, what a great GM he is. The Colts, they're a tire fire. See, at least we've got our guy in Justin. Denver? Oh, my God.
And the Colts, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 7:39 here on the Fan here in Indy. As we take a look now at the Bears. The Bears, they say Chiefs left tackle Orlando Brown.
Yep.
So the Bears enter the offseason projected to have the most cap room in the league. We got to underline that because people keep telling us, and that is true, the most cap room in the league. They have a franchise quarterback that they desperately need to protect. Fields' 13.7% sack rate is far and away the highest in the league and the highest since David Carr in 2005.
But I keep having people like my friend Clay Harbor, who played in the league for our offensive line looks a lot better than you give it credit for. Highest sack rate in the league.
He may know what he may have played. There's things that I read from him that he doesn't know what he's talking about. So sorry, you just like because you can't. Because here's the thing: you can't say the offensive line's fine and then they give up a whole bunch of sacks and go, "Oops." There's a freezing cold take within the game when he tweets. Wait. Evaluate. You don't see Baldinger with his Baldinger, nuggets saying this team's great, and then the team loses and says, "Oh, this team sucks." Wait, watch the film.
He does. He breaks down every film, and then he always. I love him. He keeps texting, "Cap, this guy's playing better." Yes, Braxton Jones has made progress.
Yes,
he's not there yet as the starting level left tackle on a team thinking they're going to the playoffs. It's a process.
So if you are going into free agency, Cap, and they say Orlando Brown, it's a name that we keep hearing about for the Bears at left tackle. And we talk about what the Bears need, right? So if you are, if the time comes, it's midnight, free agency, what are you going after first? They say left tackle from Orlando Brown. What do you think?
If, again, I'm not an offensive line expert.
Mm-hmm.
I only play one on the radio. If Ryan Poles, he knows him, he was there with him, if he says that guy is a beast, yes, go get him.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't miss. Don't have the wrong eval. Like, he should know him better than anybody.
Right. He was
there. He was with him in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
If he's truly that good, I want the best available left tackle. The best guy. Yeah. If that's Braxton Jones, keep him there. If it's not him and you can get somebody else, put him there. Put Braxton Jones at right tackle.
Whatever it takes, right?
Whatever it takes. You got to fix your O-line before you do anything, and then you got to stop the run. So you got to fix your defensive line.
Well, a couple things with this. And you and I have talked about this in the past, and I think it comes to a head here. Orlando Brown, Chiefs, right? If you are, unless there's a money issue, I mean, you want to keep Orlando Brown to protect Patrick Mahomes, don't you? If he's expendable, what's wrong with Orlando Brown? It's the old Jeff Blauser, expendable, going to the Cubs.
Well, because he's going to get paid, you can't afford him.
I understand, but I mean, I'm saying if it's outside of the financial ramifications, and are we getting diminished returns? Will this guy still be a stud? That
I don't
know.
He's 27 years old, and if you've watched him this year, he hasn't been good. He's already getting diminishing returns. The Chiefs can't tag him twice because he's already been bad.
You know, that makes me, I mean, you know, when I say Jeff Blauser, you know what I mean by that, Cap, right? You go to an Atlanta Braves team,
yep,
that perennial winner, he was part of that, and all of a sudden becomes available.
He's a 307 hitter. We're like, wow, we got a 300. He was horrible here.
Like, why is he available? Kind of like maybe some of the Patriots guys, when the Patriots were good.
Right.
Why is that guy available?
Well, I was just going to bring that up, because how many times has that happened? Like, the Patriots go out, get Trent Brown. He stinks. Or they send, his name escapes me, the guy, the left tackle who went to San Francisco, I think. Mm-hmm. And they saw he was
Trent
terrible.
Brown?
It was not, no, it was the other one. Anyway, it happens every season, it seems like. You get one of these high-profile, aging left tackles. Everybody knows their name. Tyron Smith has kind of been that guy, even though he's been better in Dallas, where you have a guy who's getting older and he's now been injured. He's not as productive. You do this with Orlando Brown, you're going to make him the highest paid left tackle in football. He is not good enough to be paid like that.
Okay, so he's played
that's
800.
Price, but that's what it is.
He has been on the field for 891 snaps. That's fourth most of any offensive lineman in the or any offensive tackle in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's picked up five penalties. That's tied for 33rd. He's allowed three sacks. That's tied for 40th. Player grade overall is 72.2. Better in pass pro at 73.1 than run block 67.1.
I got a lot of 72s in school. That's still pass, though. D.
Great on the curve.
That's it. That was still a D. I still got 72. JC, it's still pass, though. It's still passed the sniff test. I was able to graduate on that.
So how good is he? That's a great question,
well,
man.
Well, listen. So let me see if I can pin you down on this when it comes to this offseason coming up. You believe that when you come to the draft, it's about the best available on that general manager's board, correct?
If I'm not trading back, if Ryan says that the deal doesn't make sense, we're taking the best guy at number three. That's okay. Where we're sitting. Let's assume that's where they end up.
So best on the board for you as a general manager?
Yeah.
On your board.
My first goal is to trade back.
Okay.
To get more picks.
Okay.
To get more talent. If there's no deal that makes sense because none of the quarterbacks are worth paying a king's ransom, then I'm okay. We're on the board at three. We're taking our player who's the best guy on the board. Period.
Okay. Now, and we disagree on that, but in free agency, it's the best that's available, or it's actually going for need, is it not?
Free agency
is for need.
More for need.
And for you, the draft is for best available on your board that
correct.
You put together.
Correct. Okay. So if I look and go, I've got Jalen Carter rated a hair better than Will Anderson, or vice versa, I'm taking the best one that's sitting there.
Okay. Now, here's the reason why I ask that question is because Orlando Brown, again, it could be a perfect fit. We look at the age of 26, and, again, we'd have to talk to Olin, Jiggets, guys that have played the game that know offensive line play, and whether or not this person could be able to be a difference maker, because when it comes to Orlando Brown, I need him to be upright for Justin for 5 years. I need him to be that guy that is a shield for Justin, for him to run around the pocket or for pass protection. Can he do that at age 26? It's experience. But is it aging experience that cannot help Justin Fields for the long haul? That's what I care about.
So there are a handful of guys, offensive tackles, that are free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we'd have to talk to Olin, have him break the tape down. Yep. Mike McGlinchey from the 49ers. Isaiah Wynn from the Patriots. Again, some of these guys are older. Jack Conklin makes a lot of sense to me. He's a right tackle, though, not a left. I think he's a local kid. Didn't he go to Michigan State, Snorley?
Notre Dame?
Who?
Jack Conklin.
Yes, State.
Yep. Went to State.
State, yep.
He's a good player. He's 28 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
He made $14 million this year. He's going to get paid. He's 28 years of age. So I just want good players.
Yeah.
Guys, this is Jack. He's a really good player. Mm-hmm. Figure it out.
Now, as I said in the previous segment, the hope is that you have at least three guys that's in your camp right now that you say, we believe in you three. We need to make sure we protect the left side or that left side for Justin Fields, his blind side, and maybe on the right side as well. But if you have three guys, like say Leatherwood works out to be something, that'd be great. I'd love to know that. I'd love to know that Braxton Jones is developed into something. I'd love to see that because it's not going to be five new offensive linemen here. Shay, I don't expect to see that. But I do expect to see this offensive line be better. The general manager is an offensive lineman. He knows what it takes. Now find what you need.
I need a center, first of all.
Oh, sure.
Got to have a center. There are some guys that are available that if you follow PFF or you follow some of the rankings, there's some decent players here. Garrett Bradbury with the Vikings. He's 27 years of age. Some of these guys are going to get paid, and they are going to get to free agency.
We got shot or no shot coming up at 8 o'clock. But first, how did Aaron Rodgers get over his biggest fear? That's next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
forget tonight. It's Whiskey Wednesday with Carmen DeFalco. He'll be at the Sovereign Tap in Plainfield from 6:30 to 8:30 and having a good time. It is a unique event. Whiskey U of 2022. It's the final one of the year. Sovereign Tap in Plainfield. That's where you can catch Carmen DeFalco tonight. All right, now, Cap, it's time for the man of the hour. Jesse Rogers joins us here as we talk Cubs and Sox and Major League Baseball here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Jess.
Good morning, boys. Been listening to the whole show, especially the last hour with the Cubs and Correa conversation. Where do you want to start?
Did we get Ohtani this morning?
Maybe a year from today we'll be talking about it, because you're right. He's the big free agent next offseason. There's already rumors the Dodgers are going to basically, you know, give him the lease to Dodger Stadium, and he's going to be in their fold. But we'll see. It's a long way to go between now and then. Could be traded before then, but everyone thinks the Dodgers are going to make a big play at Ohtani. So let's talk about the here now. I want to make one, I don't know if it's a correction, Cap, but you've mentioned what Correa said to Gordon Whitmire a few times. Now, Correa said this to Gordon this past July after he signed with Minnesota. Now, last playoffs, he told me this during the World Series of 21. I want to be part of an organization that wants to go in the right direction and rebuild in the right way and win championships. So I think Carlos Correa was saying things in the moment that benefited him. And then when he signed with a team that was closer to winning, he said that to Gordon. So we can't always believe what these guys are saying in the midst of free agency.
I'm just reading the headline that was tweeted out by Gordon this morning.
Okay, and I'm reading you something that he said last to playoffs to give you the full picture here on Carlos Correa. Now, this is what I was told as late as last night after he signed, that certainly the Cubs were in the conversation like the Twins, but, quote, the Giants moved quicker. Now, let's put some context to what that means. What it means is the Giants moved quicker to the number Boris wanted. Boris operates this way, and even said this at the winter meetings. He doesn't get a number and then shop it around. He presents a number, and you've got to come to it. And the Giants, after having $350 million-plus to give the Judge, had that number ready to give to Correa. And they jumped at it first. We know the Twins made massive offers to him, different-looking contracts, but not $13 and $350. And by definition, I believe, the Cubs did not make a $13-$350. I don't think he was choosing between two 13-year $350 million deals. And so he lands with San Francisco because they moved quickest to the number Boris wanted.
What do the Cubs have to sell to, say, a Swanson or other free agents? Because we see this in Texas, Philadelphia, New York, San Diego. The free agency has just been bananas, Jesse, as you well know. So from the Cubs' standpoint, where they stand now, what do they have to sell?
Not as much as they had in 15, let's put it that way. And not only do they not have that much to sell, they're up against fierce competition. I've talked about this for a while. I don't feel like it's getting through. This is a very interesting time in baseball. And this is why, granted, I've gotten a lot wrong this offseason. I did not think Bellinger would choose the Cubs, for example. We could go through the things I've gotten wrong. But on day one of the offseason, on day one at the GM meetings, I told Waddle and Sylvie I had very high doubts they'd get any of the shortstops because of exactly what we're seeing. Max offers by teams that are in it to win it right now. A lot of teams are in it to win it right now. The 12 playoff teams were really good teams last year, and about 11 of them spend money. Then you add the Rangers to the mix that spend money, and a couple other teams as well, like the Giants, who are 1 year removed from winning 107 games, and the Cubs had all sorts of stiff competition. Now, about 2.5 weeks ago, I amended what I said because I heard that Swanson was likely to leave the Braves, and now the Cubs were in the mix. And since about 2.5 weeks ago, I said it was a 50-50 proposition that the Cubs might get Swanson now that I knew he was leaving the Braves. So what do they have to sell? Well, one thing is a women's professional soccer team. Here's a previously unaired quote by Dansby Swanson I got on the day the Braves were eliminated. Because of the nature of our situation, we've had to look at every possible scenario. This is Swanson talking about him and his then-fiancée, now wife. There's obviously places that have soccer teams as well as professional baseball teams. So like I said, we've literally looked at every scenario possible. The women's professional soccer teams, there's one in Seattle, San Diego, Houston, Kansas City, Chicago, LA, DC, New York, New Jersey. We can eliminate a few of those places, right, that have shortstops like San Diego. It puts the Cubs, maybe the Yankees, maybe the Dodgers squarely in the mix, probably takes the Twins out of it. And this is the other thing he said about the Cubs. Again, previously unaired, unwritten. They played well in the second half. They showed some life at times. For any team that's going through a type of rebuild, it's important to play well because you want to build confidence for the people there. You want to set a standard for a winning culture. I feel like they did that, especially down the stretch. Now, that could be Swanson leaving all his avenues open, but it certainly sounded like he had the Cubs on his mind even before the Braves season was over. So the selling really comes in a couple years, the fact that they can win. But at least they have the professional women's soccer team, and Swanson sees something, at least he did at the end of last season in the Cubs.
So what should a Cub fan out there think this morning? Well, we lost out on San Diego getting another star, Bogarts. Oh, I heard rumors we were in on Correa. He's going to San Francisco. Trey Turner said he got an offer from the Cubs. Well, they obviously didn't offer him $5 million a year. They obviously were in that 275 to 300 range, or why are we wasting our time? Then they didn't get him. So how much do they have to spend on Dansby Swanson? Are they going to go get J.D. Martinez to be the DH? Are they going to sign Justin Turner at 38 to play third base? Are they trying to freaking win next year and be competitive? Or, nah, it's another lost year in the north side.
Yeah, I mean, Cap, I always thought it was a pipe dream to really contend next year. Yeah, in this division, you can contend around the edges. But, we are at a point in time where there are super teams out there. Cubs are nowhere close to being a super team. Maybe if they had done exactly the right things, they could be contending for a wild card, maybe. But baseball is full of great teams right now. The answer to the question is really the same as it was a year ago, and that is Jed really is going to – he has one way to get this thing back on track. The prospects he has acquired become star-level players, and then when they're ready to win – they sign the next John Lester. They sign the next even Jason Hayward and hope it's better than Jason Hayward. And that's when they do it, when someone is willing to come here and not necessarily have to take the max money. He's got one avenue. Now, the team to compare the Cubs to, guys, is the Texas Rangers. This, to me, is very interesting. Their farm systems rank very similarly. But the Rangers and their success on the field is similar. In fact, the Rangers were worse last year. But the Rangers have gone out and spent big, big money. Probably wrong, right? I mean, Simeon's not going to be good for that year, that long. Seager's not going to be. And Jacob deGrom may not be healthy for one season. Mm-hmm. But they went for it, or they're going for it, in a tougher division. So which avenue is the right avenue? To push all in, to max out deals on guys when you're not necessarily ready to win with 68 wins, which the Rangers had, or to do it the Cubs way. I mean, look, I'm not against good players. I want them all as well. Like, I would love to have Carlos Correa here. It's not our money, but it is an interesting dynamic that's going on. One team, similar record, similar farm system, spending all this money, and we don't know where it's going to get them. While the Cubs are kind of doing it piecemeal and are not willing to go past their evaluations. Why didn't they get Vasquez? Why didn't they get Correa? They've made evaluations. Maybe they've adjusted them here and there as the market changes.
You know what, Jesse?
You have to
screw
do that.
The evaluate. At some point, you got to sign somebody, or you cannot continue to charge the prices you're charging for the Wrigley Field experience and the tickets. You cannot do it.
But you can't make them go to your ball club. And as I've been saying, that's why I asked Jesse, what's the attraction? Yeah, you have to find a John Lester to say, you know what, I'm going to be the linchpin to start all this. What you got in the offseason was not a linchpin.
And I think one of you said it right. Like, this is not, though, oh, everyone wants to play for the Cubs and Chicago in the summer. That's BS. There's plenty of good organizations out there right now. Plenty of them. You don't want to play at Petco Park and live in San Diego and be adored by the only sports team in town? Please. The Philadelphia fans were, Ash Schwarber, were as loud as Wrigley Field ever was. There are some great cities to live and great organizations that treat their families well, just like the Cubs treat their team well. So I agree with you. There's not a lot to sell right now compared to these other super teams that are willing to go max contracts, even if the contracts look bad. But Cap, I'm also on your side. You can't get better without stars. I had this argument with Jed at the winter meetings or at the GM meetings, one of them. I said, look, you admit you don't have stars brewing in your minor league system. That means you got to go out and get them. And he kind of agreed, but then he also said, well, the Rays don't have a lot of stars and they win. And I'm like, well, we don't want to be the Rays, right?
I
almost swore. We're not Tampa.
Right. But look, it's a tough needle he's trying to thread, competing with all these teams that are fully formulated, World Series ready, and willing to go all in with crazy, crazy contracts. So I think his only avenue right now is waiting for these prospects to produce a good team, and then they top it off with some great free agent signings.
All right, I'll see you in 2024. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you in 2024.
I don't disagree that they wanted it, but they're just not willing to go all in.
Sox, anything? No?
All right. Nah.
All right, Jesse, thank you very much.
Joey Gallo in 24 hours. Mark it down.
He didn't. Okay, he didn't ask. I asked him. I asked the expert. Nobody asked you. And no, I don't want to hear about Joey Gallo. Because 81 and 81 is good enough at 35th and Vec, so don't worry about it.
I'm Gene Honda, now batting. Joey Gallo.
Yep. From the 13,000. All right, Jesse, we appreciate it.
Hold on, the Cubs will fill it.
Jesse Rogers with us here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, Vegas woman snatches Rolex. That's the headline.
Whoa.
And that's next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. You know, it's interesting, Cap. I've been married since 2000. Got married in an even number so that way I can remember. So that way I can count it down to 22 years.
Hold on a second.
Got married in 2000 so I can remember how many years we've been married.
Hold on a second.
Yep.
You got married in an even number so you could count it down, but next year it's going to be an odd number, so how does that help you?
Then at 24, it'll be an even number. Exactly right. Wow. Could have been a 98 wedding, but now I said, let's wait until 2000.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. So I will tell you this, though. That's a joke, but what is true, we did have a fall wedding, so I can remember it's around NBA season, in case I lose my mind.
What's your anniversary date?
November 4.
November 4th.
Yeah. And that used to be the opening night, by the way, if you recall that in the NBA. November 4th used to be the opening night for a long time until they switched over to like mid-October now for the NBA.
Now, you like warm weather like me. Why not like a June, July, August wedding? Just the venue wasn't available? Like Snorling likes, he said he wishes it was snowing today. Like you said some insane things. He would rather it was snowing today than raining.
That's not insane.
That is insane.
I stood at the bus stop waiting for my bus this morning for 5 minutes because CTA can't get their S together. And I would have much rather stood in snow than this garbage.
So you'd rather just be in the snow because you think the rain is too hard for you?
Cold rain is so much worse than any kind of snow. So much worse.
No, as Danny just correctly said to you, the first day, it's all white and pretty out there.
I don't care about that. I'm saying when I'm out on the street walking around, this is the worst weather to drive in. It's the worst weather to walk in. This is awful. I would much rather have light snow than this garbage.
He's a young man. He hasn't been through blizzards.
Yeah, he has no clue.
It's like, so that's why he could say that, because he hasn't lived through.
I'm putting it on the poll.
Oh, okay. At ESPN 1000, what's worse, rain or snow? To drive in or walk in?
In general.
I mean,
today, Hoodie, I'm standing at the bus stop for 5 minutes in this crap. I would rather it snow.
And no shelter, I'm sure, right?
Yeah,
no bus shelter?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't bring an umbrella because I'm an idiot. That's a me thing, but...
I'm not a man. You don't need an umbrella because that's not what a man does. A man doesn't have an umbrella.
You know what? If there was snow, I wouldn't need an umbrella.
So put that in the poll, see how that comes out at ESPN 1000. But anyway, nonetheless, we're talking about holiday presents. Again, married for a long time, Cap, and you get to the point where, you know, if you're going to give presents, I don't believe in Sweetest Day. I think that's nonsense. There's no Sweetest Day. It's ridiculous. It's just made up Hallmark holiday. But throughout the year.
We follow Sweetest
Day. Oh, that's fine. That's just nonsense. Just whatever is. I mean, it's like me telling you today is, you know, one of these holidays, these national holidays I always tell you. Like, today is Bill of Rights Day. Today is National Regifting Day. Ah. You know, you have all year to be able to take care of your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers, whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't need a special day for that.
Agreed.
But the holidays is different. And so what I'm telling you is that we got to the point, we've been around each other so long. It's like she was online. I looked over her shoulder, as I always do, to try to find information out about you. And so I go over her shoulder, and I was looking, and I said, what are you looking at, hun? She goes, Coach purses. Like, is that what you want for Christmas? I really like that Coach purse. It's like, just buy it. Merry Christmas. Like there's no secrets anymore. The secrets come, like, throughout the year for me. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I know you didn't know I was going to get you this, but I got you this. Do that in July, June. It doesn't matter.
Correct.
But for the holidays, Cap, we got to the point now where it's like, you know whatever she wants. You want a Mac computer? Mac computer? Smokes from Highland, Indiana. You want a Mac computer? Or if you want a purse, fine.
Get it.
Yeah. But I don't find that, like, yeah. And by the way, it'll be under the tree. And we can open them together on the 25th. Right before the NBA, by the way.
So we do.
Before the NBA games.
Right. So you can lock in. Can we do the presents at 5 a.m.? Because I got 5 NBA games to watch and pro football.
I got a parlay working.
Right. So my wife will. I'll say to her, what do you want for holidays? She wanted to go on a trip.
Yeah.
So we did with the kids. We were gone at Thanksgiving. That was our gift to each other.
Yes.
But she said the other day, I want you to have something to open. I go, okay. I got her something. So I, my God, there's really nothing. I'm like, hey, you know what I want? I need a warm jacket.
Mm-hmm.
My jackets are all huge because of soda.
Yep.
I put on this black jacket. And she's like, you can't wear that. That thing's hanging on you.
Yes. It's like a hug.
So she said, you want me to pick it out? But I don't want her to pick out the jacket. I would rather go jacket shopping and then go, I like that. Will you get me that?
Now, when we were younger, oh, it's cool, right? But I'm not a child.
Right. It's not like, okay, here, we give our kids, when they were younger, give us a list.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a list of, I want this video game. I want that sweatshirt or this parachute. Now, we just, it is what it is.
Now, I have something for you, but I'm not telling you. I have mm-hmm. something for you that will be coming to your home for the holidays.
How about that?
I like to surprise you because you have everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure if I give you something a little bit different, you'd be like, wow, wow. So I think I got you the perfect gifts. It's more than one.
Really?
Yeah, but I won't tell you what it is, though. But for you and I think that's cool.
Like, you got me last year an Amazon gift card.
Yes.
And it was a very generous gift card.
Yes.
And it was in my bag, and I hadn't used it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple things I wanted from Amazon. And I'm like, and Mindy asked me for something that was in my bag. I opened it. I'm like, oh, look at this.
Found money.
I got a gift card from Hoodie that mm-hmm. I haven't used.
Yeah.
So I was able to buy what I wanted
mm-hmm.
with the gift card.
Yes.
So the gift cards, my wife's like, gift cards are a lazy gift. Gift cards are the greatest.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
You get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But when it comes to her, Cap, just tell me what you want so we can get here before the holidays. You want a Coach purse? Go ahead.
Get it.
JC, like maybe you're a younger guy, JC, and you say, well, it's still special. She'll still get the gift.
I think there's a feeling of getting a gift for someone and then them seeing what it is, like that split second, right?
Yeah.
To see the reaction. But you have a point. At the same time, if you want it, just get it now. And you still got kind of like that reaction with opening it out of the box. You know, it comes in, you get your package. You get the scissors, open it all up. It's still all there. I get it, but at the same time, too, there is that split second that people love.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, look, she'll get what she wants for Christmas, right? But then if I get her Janet Jackson tickets, because she's going to be at Tinley this spring, she won't know that's coming.
Correct.
It's like, so, like, Janet will be here. Like, here you go. Janet Jackson tickets. Oh, my God. And it's in Charlotte. Or whatever, right?
Right.
Or Detroit. The Fox Theater, right? Whatever. So that's how I look at it.
I will say, I would rather someone just point blank ask me what I want and get me exactly that than give me a gift card. Gift card is so impersonal.
Oh, see, I think gift cards are the greatest.
It's like money, though.
Oh, just get cash, then.
No, that's a
cash
little...
Cash is also... It's just an impersonal gift. There's no touch to it. If you ask me what I want and then get me that, it shows you care enough about me to ask and you listen to what I told you. If you give me a gift card, you're just throwing something at me. What do I care? It feels very impersonal receiving a gift card.
See, that's his perspective. And mine, get me a gift card. I would much prefer a gift card than... Oh, I actually wanted the other color in
right,
that.
But what
now
I got
to go to the store and I got to return. I don't want to have to come up with a list at that moment. What do you want for Christmas, Cap, or Hanukkah?
So what do you want? I would ask you... Like, what do you want now? But you already have it. You're eating breakfast. So I don't have to get you breakfast. So what would you like, Shay? Go ahead.
I actually don't know.
Chew on the air. What else? What is it?
I'm eating a snack. Apparently, Waddle left these almond somethings. They're fantastic. I can't get enough of them. My mother-in-law texted me and said, what do you want for Christmas? And I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't have an answer.
So I'm thinking, Cap, for...
So get a gift card. Then so you can get what you want.
I don't want a gift card, though. I'd rather look around and find something. Like, I did end up finding a hat, and I sent it to her. I said, if you want to get me something, this would be great.
Okay, so what do we get him, Shay? Cap, what do we get Shay for Christmas? He doesn't want a gift card from us. So, like, a Larry Parrish jersey, Detroit Tigers jersey?
I actually am going to give him money.
All right, do you want the money? You don't want money?
Sure. I appreciate it, Cap. You're the best.
If you don't want it, I mean, I'm sure I can...
I'm going to Venmo you.
You go to H&M and get a couple of sweaters on sale. No, I'm not going to Venmo him. I'm going to give him a card that will have cash in it.
Shay, you don't want us to give you money for Christmas?
Money's great. From you two, money is all I would expect or want.
Wouldn't expect anything more than just money.
No, I mean, I'm close with both of you, but I mean, like, with family, I'm just... Like my mother. I'm not getting my mother a gift card. Just tell me what you want, and I'll get that for
you. We also will do things for Shay during the year.
Yes.
I know you have. Yes. I know I... Like, you went to dinner with your dad.
Yes.
I bought his dinner.
Yep.
Just...
Yes.
Because we want him to know he's appreciated.
Yes.
He's got some asinine takes, but he's appreciated.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Would you just leave him alone?
I mean, just example one. He put out a poll question, and of course... The way he writes said poll question, of course it's going to favor his what he wants.
Did he write it in Detroit? How did he
settle
write it?
A debate between at the Cap Man, at Tweet Jay Hood, and at Shay Norling. What weather's worse? Cold, freezing rain. Was it freezing rain today?
It's 40 degrees.
Or snow.
Oh, Jesus.
How about just saying a light drizzle and 40 or snow?
Do you want me to rewrite it? I imagine the answer is going to be the same. It's 83% to 16%. It's not even close. I imagine the answer is still going to be that people would prefer snow
and of course,
to the rain we have right now, no matter how I
write it. The Cookie Monster in North Aurora, Vicky, no-brainer. A cold rain is the worst. You'd be getting a Malnati's tonight if you'd have listened to me.
Would you stop doing point-to-point communication?
Joe Hogan, I hate cold rain. As long as it's not accumulating snow, I'm better with that. The mailman Orlando, he doesn't like the... Okay. You win, Shay.
This time.
A lot of people have not gone through a blizzard, apparently, Cap.
Just wait till we get like 7 inches of snow and people are sliding all over.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day next on Chicago's Home for Sports.